while our assignments from yesterday. Read and record the write-up for this month's focus. As you listen to the recording, look to see where you suffer with this particular content. Jot that down. Example, the content is relationship. Perhaps you suffer around feeling controlled in your relationship with your father. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning. Hi. This is Carol from San Francisco.
Hey, Carol.
Hey. Well, I thought it wasn't going to get any bigger than sex and money, but here we are in relationship. And this is big. I had a big workshop on it yesterday. So I just wanted to see if I could shed some light on it. I had a work meeting. Some higher-ups were there. It was like an hour and a half long. First thing came up was a very disappointing information for me. And then meeting went on. And I watched myself get smaller and smaller. And I watched self-hate come. And myself almost becoming it, but not quite. I'm so committed to wake up that I'm trying to stay awake when this is happening. So watching what's happening, the thought was, everybody's smarter than me. And then also this process happens when people are talking and talking and talking. I start to feel invisible, and I feel I could lose my power. And then I feel, I don't know, this thing I believe, I don't know yet what, I'm not adequate. So then I start hearing that story, and then I start getting grouchy, and I say things at the wrong time. I'm just talking about the process map here, is that okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then I'm like, no, don't go down that self-hate path. It's there. I'm so attached to it, but I'm trying to pull away. And then I start throwing things overboard. I start throwing everything overboard. Instead of trying to get them to realize I'm doing two jobs, two places, instead I'm hearing myself volunteer for more. So that starts that path. And then saying things that are just kind of not blatantly degrading, but a little bit, you know, towards me. And then it's like, but still the mentor's there. It's like, come on. You know, stay in this. Try not to give in to self-hate totally, you know.
Right.
And at the end, it was like, I found the elevator. I started going up and down in that recording. And that was like, come on back, you know. That struggle of, yes, you're here, you're doing this, you're transcending this, even though it doesn't feel like it, there's so much self-hate, you know, and those people are so great and big and I don't know anything, but that's okay, you know, you can be, because I keep hearing you and Ashwini say, you can be compassionate to all of those parts, and I'm like, oh, God, they're trying to do that, you know.
Well, may I offer some good news?
Yes.
Okay. the thing that is about that, wonderful, I'll just go with wonderful, is that you were there every step of the way. You were there for every single minute of it, right? Now, what was there that you were present to was not what we're conditioned to be thrilled about, right? Because the belief is still that if you were the right person, none of these reactions would be there, none of this karma, none of this this ego stuff, none of this self-hate would be there if you were the right person. But fortunately, you know that that's not true. That what we're doing is waking up out of this mess that we have been, that we find ourselves in, you know, that we're in for all kinds of reasons that we understand, right? And that everybody else is in too, no matter how good they look on the outside compared to what we're hearing inside our heads. That everybody struggles, right? And so you were there watching that struggle, and you know it's a workshop, right? So do you want to do that next week again? No. And yet you know that you have everything you need for the next time that comes up, so that you can see a little more, be a little more present, be a little. So it's like, justice scales, right? And you're just taking things from that side to that side, right? In each one of these situations, and that's so, what we got to go through.
It feels that way.
Yeah,
it feels that way.
There was a time I project, when you would have gone into that meeting, gone completely unconscious, had some vague sense of what might have happened, and just feel like garbage for the next whatever. And that would have just been how it was. Is that true?
Yeah, that's so true. The big long paragraph at the beginning of the series talks about, even though they're doing this over there, It's we think it's them, and this guy's doing what he does over here, and that one's doing what they do, you know, and it feels so real that it's them. It feels that way so strongly, but because I've read that paragraph and I'm holding on to it like a tight, tight rope, you know, even though it's shaking me all around, and I'm hanging on to it. And then at the end, I walk out of there and I go, oh, it feels so good to just gripe about all of this to somebody, and it's like, no, give me all there, take your recorder, don't talk to anybody about it. And it was so much better, because it will eventually blow over and I will be so sorry I opened my mouth. And
there's
a better
that
way to
you
do
abandoned,
it
that you abandoned yourself, right? That would have been the kind of the ultimate abandonment, that this happened and you just walk off and leave her, let ego ditch her to go milk this situation, right, for itself. But you didn't do that. You stayed with her and with the mentor, right, with the, come on, be here, it's fine. You're all right, we're here. Yeah.
What fools me, though, is that it feels like I'm not with a mentor, because the other thing is yelling so loud, and it's like it's there too, so I couldn't be anywhere near the mentor, right? Because this other thing, so like, God, I can't believe you did this or that, you know. But still, it's like there's a group here, you know, and you just have to go, okay, yeah, that thing's here, but I'm still choosing to walk away from abandonment.
That's
whatever
right.
The words are.
That's exactly right. And again, not to lose sight of the fact that you stayed conscious throughout that whole thing. You stayed conscious through moment after moment after moment after moment, when you were supposed to be completely unconscious and just lost in egocentric karmic self-hate. And you weren't. Even though you're aware of how loud it gets, you're aware of it. Right? So you're not that's the proof that we have that we're not it, because we're observing it.
Yeah, it's a very thin line between observing it and being in it, but I think I kind of saw a little bit of that yesterday.
Yes, yeah, you stayed on the observing side of the line, even though it didn't feel like it. And Carol, the way I know that, of course, and anybody listening knows that, is you can report it blow by blow, not only what was going on in the room around you, but what the voices were saying and what you were feeling and how you were, right, what the mentoring presence was encouraging you to do, to be able to stay there and stay conscious. You were there for all of it.
Yeah, so this is really how feelings are not fact plays in, that even though feelings are screeching and charged, it still isn't a fact.
That's exactly so. And you saw that.
Cool.
You saw that. Yes. oh, too bad you don't have another meeting today, but there'll be one plenty soon enough, right?
There will be.
Yeah.
Well, plenty to look at this month.
Well, yes, and even though, you know, celebration is supposed to happen 28 days from now or whatever it is, celebrate this, okay, because that is a huge, huge, huge win.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Carol.
Thank you all.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carol. That was so what was dropping in, Sherry, that it is such a practice victory. And
yes.
Because it's what we were talking about with Bev yesterday, there's a way in which this is the process of waking up.
Yes.
If I was unconscious, I would be having one experience. But but bringing conscious awareness to the experience allows me to hold the contradiction between a screaming ego and the conscious, compassionate awareness that's witnessing it and feel that as a sense of waking up.
Yes. Oh, that's nice. Let that screeching, realize that screeching is what's helping us to wake up. That's very good.
Yes. And what I was looking at, someone I read this morning that emotions are a summary of the meaning we make to events.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And that it's very
That's how they get stored.
Yes, yeah. It's very useful information to look at the meaning that was made to an event because that's where the suffering is. And mm-hmm. so the more awareness we bring to it, the more information we have for us to mm-hmm. have choice about being present to it rather than let mm-hmm. the meaning-making machine take a hold of it and drop us into that suffering place.
Mm-hmm.
And so just that, to be able to witness it, to have that kind of experience that Carol was talking about, it's such a heroic place.
Oh.
And such a place of success.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Yes. It's funny, isn't it? Because it's hard to get that. I mean, I project other people listening to what Carol was describing can grasp the magnitude of that in a way that Carol can't. Because when we're living through our life experience, we don't have the distance to realize how extraordinary it is.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I think we come together so that it can be reflected and we can see what we are not able to see.
Yeah, yeah. And the good news with this particular workshop is these things are recorded so people can go back and listen and maybe hear themselves as they would hear someone else.
Yes.
Which helps with the mm-hmm. yeah, the disidentification. All right.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Tom from San Jose.
Hello, Tom.
How are you guys?
Good. You?
I'm doing pretty good.
Pretty darn good. Hanging pretty darn well on.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I feel the hope and of what was just said about all the meaning of all these events, you know, putting it all together to see how to wake up.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah. Waking up to the waking up.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and this particular content is so heavy. You know, just I have the same experience that I project the previous caller had of reading that paragraph and just being like, yeah, that's what I'm up against. That's what has bamboozled me more than almost anything else in my entire life. And how can I actually make a difference in this experience for myself? How can I support myself through this experience that I have so mm-hmm. constantly? And that just seems to roll me so often and so mm-hmm. So completely. So having the problem statement right there, you know, is kind of a double-edged sword because, you know, part of me says, well, yeah, there it is. Everybody suffers from it, and you're going to suffer from it too. So just hang on to your seat for the suffering, and then the other side says, well, you know, all the things that were just said, you know, this is a chance to make a change and to find a new way to support yourself.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. To see through the bamboozle.
Yes.
Right? Because it is a bamboozle. In any place of suffering, we're only suffering because we're being bamboozled.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the suffering is always in the bamboozle, as we know. In the process, the suffering is in the process, not in whatever the content is. So as we get clearer about how this is being done to us, as we go through it step by step, instead of having it the way we were talking about with Carol, you know, you go into a situation, relationship situation, you go unconscious, you get tossed out the other side with the same old story of what happened. But when we go through it moment by moment by moment by moment, and we see how that bamboozle is constructed, we no longer believe it in the same way. So the conclusions that ego has us reach are no longer believable.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, to getting to a new level, a deeper level with that. I've really felt it with all the sessions that we've had so far. I'm looking forward to it for this one also.
Well, and that's a good thing, isn't it? Because when we start out with something like this, it's like, okay, well, and then we went through self-care, and we saw the processes that were revealed in that. And then we went through finances, and we watched the process, and we could see similarities there. Okay, the content is really different, but I can see how I am with this is I'm seeing some patterns here. And then we hit sexuality, right? And the patterns are getting clearer and clearer because I'm having a lot the same reactions to things, even though the content is really, really different. Mm-hmm. So now in relationship, we're much more prepared to look in terms of process.
Yes. Yes, and I think for me, one of the things that makes relationships work in this kind of an environment is that I can, you know, it's hard for me to stay present to a relationship because it is so fraught with all this karma, but I think the relationship that I experience with Sangha, with this year-long retreat, is kind of a model for how I want to approach relationships and how I want to be in all the relationships in my life is how I experience this retreat.
Wow. Thank you for that. That was beautifully stated. That was very helpful to see that how we're doing this is how we want to approach everything in our lives. Certainly, how we're doing this is how we want to approach ourselves, right? And then, by extension, everyone and everything else in our lives.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very helpful. Thank you for that, Tom.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you for all the retreat.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thanks, Tom. And that is so true. Right, Sherry, the privileged environment models the perfect environment for all relationships. And I can't wait for that communication book to come out because it's going to give us so many tips and tools on how to relate.
And how to stay with ourselves in those fraught situations. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
I'm coming. Sorry. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. You are here. We are here.
You were in my bag because I was stirring the compost while I was listening. Thinking about the monastery and your compost.
You were doing a chore, Isota.
Yes.
Oh, we have been a good influence.
Ah, yes, but not only for that.
So what are you seeing about relationships?
Okay, so I was reading the fantastic introduction, and I could really not even decide what part of relationship makes me suffer more. But one thing that I would like to work on this month, I think, is that when very often people say stuff that irritates me so much or makes me feel so frightened that I either relate very unskillfully, but that is under that I'm noticing more, or I don't say anything, but then I mock them with other people or complain about them with other people and make fun of them. And I really don't like it. I just noticed it yesterday looking at my relationship behavior, you know.
And I remember this came up in another conversation a long time ago, right, about a person that you were dating, right, and then making fun of him behind his back to other people. Am I remembering that correctly?
You might, but I don't remember. But it sounds like something I would do. But the insight has been taken away from me. But yesterday.
Yeah. So that and that's actually I think why I bring it up, because this is something that you've actually been aware of for a while, that process that has actually. You can have a sense that it's being done to you in the way that you just described it. It's like you have whatever reaction to what happens. And then you can watch how egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate orchestrates your behavior to protect itself.
Yes, and you know what dropped in now that I was listening to you? That not only it's being made to me, but the whole point is to distract me from being present during the interaction.
Yes, yes, exactly so. It keeps you from noticing what ego is doing to you, right? That reaction that you're having, you don't get to address that directly, right? It takes you into unconsciousness and then orchestrates behaviors that will subsequently be used against you.
My God, I'm missing both things. I'm missing the interaction with the other person, and I'm missing what ego is doing to me. I'm missing everything.
Yeah. Well, not really, because you're here and we're talking about
it. Exactly.
So actually, it's kind of back to Carol, right? You're actually seeing all of it. And what you're doing now is putting the pieces of the puzzle together, right? So that you can see the whole instead of being pulled from this piece that you can see to this piece that you can see to this piece, but not being able to see how they all go together. Now you're stepping back enough to see the larger whole.
Yes. Well, so I have the thing I'm gonna be working on this month. Fantastic!
Yeah, off to a good start.
I'm so thankful, and so there is just be present, right? There isn't much to do. Or do you have any tip or any specific advice?
Well, you know, Ashwini's right. That communication book that we keep dangling in front of people, like we're actually going to get it done anytime soon, because. I would offer you, Isota, the facilitation skills. You know, practicing reflecting people, practicing asking a question to draw somebody out, practicing, because that's what will enable you to stay there in conscious awareness in the relationship.
Yes, and you know, now that you said that, I really realized that what's happening is that something they say stirs an emotion in me, I totally go away, and I'm not even able to inquire further, for example.
Yes.
And maybe the meaning that I'm giving to the event, to quote what Ashwini was saying, the emotion that the event is stirring up in me, maybe it has not even anything to do with whatever this person is saying.
Yes.
But I just disappear and I cannot verify.
Yes.
Well, that's good to know.
Yes. That's very good to know. Yeah, and to be fascinated by that moment by moment by moment by moment. Now, what now? What now? What now? What's happening now? What's happening now? What's happening now? And not losing sight of the fact that it's a workshop. You're going to practice this with all kinds of interactions going forward rather than falling into the, okay, now I've got that. I hope that'll never happen again. It's going to happen again. That's how we get to practice.
Yes, yes, yes. So happy. I will just record this conversation with you and we listen it many times throughout the month. And my life.
Good.
And ever.
Good. All right. Thank you, Ashoka.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ashoka. Sherry, we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Todd calling from Kelowna.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, good morning. Wow.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'll try to get to a good Wi-Fi spot. Am I fairly clear?
You're absolutely clear.
Oh, excellent. So far, I've seen some really fascinating stuff. A couple things is the process of judgment seems to arise almost a lot in interaction and relationships, that overarching judgment, constantly conditioning is judging and projecting on that other person. And it really taints the experience.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
To one where I sense a lot of enjoyment with folks is really taken away in that process.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And is there a feeling of being divided?
Yeah.
Part of you is there enjoying the person and part of attention is on what's going on in conditioned mind with its judgments.
Yeah.
You're kind of caught in the middle.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I was just noticing yesterday I structured things where I almost every second day am required, because I've made commitments, to show up and participate in group activities for that very reason, because the heavy secondary process I've noticed is isolation and avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
So I isolate and avoid because there's that unpleasant feeling in interacting with folks, because I think because of that constant judgment and it's go ahead.
Todd, yeah, well, you isolate because ego wants you home alone with it.
I know.
Right? And it's running that constant judgment of other people so that you'll give all of your attention to it instead of them, right?
Right.
But the point that you're making is so important, that's how the brainwashing happens. So the voices in the head make being around, just in this situation, being around other people so unpleasant that what we decide to do is not be around other people. We don't decide to get rid of the voice in the head. Now, I know you have, but it takes us a long time, doesn't it, to even be open to entertaining that the problem, the notion that the difficulty is not other people.
Yeah.
The difficulty is that miserable conversation in my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
which
what I
doesn't
tried,
go away when you go home.
No.
Right? It just changes subject a little.
There's usually
just
a lot of
focuses on you.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of postmortem, right? A lot of review. A lot of postmortem and review of the relationship and the interactions. But what I aspire to do. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, just to make the point that all that's happening is it's going from other people to you.
Yes.
So when you're out with other people, it judges them. When you go at home, it judges you.
Right. That's so big to see. Because it was pretty under the radar for until this topic, this content came up. And it just had all these, I read, the introduction and recorded it. And I was listening to it. These insights kept dropping in. Oh, wow, interesting. That's why I isolate. That's why You know, mm-hmm. I try to, but what I aspire to do is, because I do get a lot of social invitations, because I'm in a big group, a couple, 200-300 group of folks that are, you know, different areas, but I get invitations, and what I aspire to do is, the knee jerk is no, I don't want to go. I don't want to strike it. And then life drops in, great, here's an opportunity to go against that karma, and I accept the invitation. And mm-hmm. in the most part have, you know, quite enjoy the interactions when I aspire to, and what you said to the previous caller was really important, is I really try to bring the facilitation skills to allow me to stay mm-hmm. present and not get caught up in the judgment, not get caught up in the stories yes. about what's going on. So I try to reflect, I try to draw out, I try to clarify, and it really makes the interaction much more fun, is the best way to
say. Well, yeah, and that's so important, Todd, because what conditioned mind can do is grab half of your attention for mm-hmm. it
yeah.
while half of your attention is on somebody else. So, yeah. you know, you don't want to look stupid. So you're going to keep enough attention on that conversation so you can keep
right.
track of what they're saying, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But at the same time, watching what's going on in conditioned mind. Now mm-hmm. you add facilitation skills.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of attention and awareness.
Yeah.
Right. If you're going to really keep up with them in mm-hmm. terms of drawing out and clarifying
yeah.
and reflecting, there's not going to be much left over. So yeah. conditioned mind is going to have to wait till after the conversation is over, which is
yeah.
really helpful, because at that point, all you need to do is say, we're not doing that.
Yes, exactly.
We're not reviewing my facilitation. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an encouragement I've heard from you over and over and over again is whatever, or is that so, or
mm-hmm.
you know, that's the
yep.
response I try to use, whatever, you know, try to go
yep.
into the, you know, the postmortem, and I go, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Done.
We're not doing that. I'm
not
a
doing that.
Moment person. Yeah.
yeah.
I live in the
yeah.
present. That
exactly.
happened in the past.
Yeah. Or I just throw my earbuds in if it really gets overwhelming, like the previous call I was talking about, get kind of a landslide or a, you know, I just throw the earbuds in and just listen to whatever's on my recorder, and that just puts
That's
the attention
right.
somewhere else too, which is a great
yeah.
respite to having,
yeah.
you know, the reviews.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
yeah. Great.
Oh, that's
well,
great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd.
Okay. Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, all of Sangha.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Todd.
Bye-bye. Go happy.
And Sherry, that brings us to the end of another fabulous show and our assignment for today. Answer this very non-Zen question. Why do you want to work with this particular issue? Record and listen. Note, the obvious answer is, I don't want to suffer. So we encourage you to go beyond the obvious answer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. So exciting. Thank you, Ashwini, and thank you, everybody. And yes, go happy.
Go happy. Thanks, Sherry.
Bye-bye.